Good morning, and welcome to worship with First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor. Welcome to you in this sanctuary space, and welcome to you who are joining us online, all of us gathered as one, whether we can see each other or not. Today is the first Sunday of June, and therefore the final Sunday of our spiritual formation second hour class opportunities. We begin the official summer program next week, which does not include adult or other education opportunities following worship. We just stay here longer to enjoy each other's company and friendship, and then we're free to go home. I will announce to the adults that today's session in the Memorial Lounge is the final one in a series of members of this church family telling their personal stories of their own faith and life, how they've grown and changed. One of the stories shared today will actually be not of the presenters, but of someone very important to the life of this church who died not so long ago, Vern Jensen. Marvelous story, and we hope you'll be there for both sharings today. There are announcements available to you. One of them I wish to highlight. You may know that our church has an ongoing, very fruitful, happy relationship with Hope Clinic. This group provides for the needs of a great many people in our community. We join them in their meal ministry. We also are participating this month in donating items for babies. You'll see in the announcements the specific kinds of items that are needed, and you'll see how you can best make those available to the good folk at Hope Clinic. Take note of those details and respond as you are able. We are so privileged to be part of this partnership. Now the moment of worship begins. Time opens up. Space opens up. Our hearts open also. The Spirit of God is here. Let us be responsive, and let us be receptive.
the invocation. Let's pray. Almighty God, creator and sustainer of all that surrounds us, we come together in this hallowed place to solemnly bow in worship before you. Guided by your Spirit, may the words that we read and the words that are spoken direct our thoughts to the Word made flesh, our Redeemer, who has called us to his service, who has given us his name, and who sends us into a troubled world with his message of love and of justice and of peace. As his disciples, from his Spirit, we pray for wisdom, strength, and courage that we may be obedient to his will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Human beings, that you are mindful of them, mortals, that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Thank you.
Now listen to these words from the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness God called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The word of the Lord.
Children, you can come forward as we sing our song together. All of us singing. I am the church. Very late last night, because Piper had a dance recital, and guess what I noticed? Something about the moon. It was a full moon. Can you do like Emma? Can you put your hands above your head? Whoa, it was a full moon. The way the sun was shining on the moon, we could see the whole thing. And I was thinking about this that we have on our refrigerator at home. It helps us see how the moon is changing during the month, each month. So here is June, and here it shows, oh, yep, the full moon. Today we heard when Mr. Francis was reading from Psalm 8 that God made the moon and the stars. And also, God is our God. God made us too. I think it's pretty cool that the God of the moon is our God too. I love that. So, we are all made in God's image. We hear that God made the moon and the stars, and God made us, and we are wonderfully made. And we have some ways to show wonderfully made. Here's something you see. Oh, Emma says, rainbow. Do you see all those colors there? I'm going to lay that down right in front of us. Rainbows are like this. It helps us remember an important thing, that all people are loved by God, that all people are wonderfully made. Look, we have this too at our church. Do you see more rainbow? Do you see how they kind of match? This has some more pieces to it too. This is a sticker we have at our church, and you'll see other rainbows throughout our space. This helps us say that all of God's children are wonderfully made. That the God of the moon is the God of all people. People with light skin, people with dark skin. This helps us remember folks who have darker skin. This helps us remember that all of God's people who are gay or lesbian or bisexual, all are wonderfully and fearfully made. Trans kids and trans teens and adults too. All people are loved by God. So, we are God's people, and God is the God of the moon and the stars and all of us. And I think that's amazing. I love that. That the God of the moon is the God of us too. And we have all of our rainbows to help us remember. This is a month in June we really are remembering and saying and naming that God is the God of all people. Yeah, cool. Will you pray with me? Would you put your hands above your head? Like a moon? Like a full moon? All right, let's pray this way. God, we thank you that you are the God of the moon and the stars, that you are the God of us, all of us, and that you have made us wonderfully. We love that good news. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's head to church school together. Let's pray together. We're using words today from Diane Hart. Dear God, who lifts us up, who carries us, and who delivers us, we are grateful for the beauty of this sunny day, for the warm weather, and the grandeur of this earth's natural beauty. But also for the simple touch of a loved one, a call from a friend, the support of caring ministries of our church, and for those who walk with us in difficult times. All of these gifts add to our wonderment of the world that you have created and reminds us of your abundant and never-ending love. And while we are mindful of these generous gifts, let us also reach out as we can for those who are suffering. We pray for families and friends of those who have lost loved ones, for the families and friends who have lost loved ones, especially those in India after the train crash this week. We pray for those who are left wounded and for those who are diligently working to help. And here at home, help us to feel your presence as we deal with our anxieties of everyday life, the constant barrage of political discord, our own health issues that frighten us, or our concerns for loved ones who are in need. We pray for those who we know to pray for by name. We pray for Rob Snyder, for Jill Damon, Betty Gerstler, Mary Margaret Hatt, Marilyn Marsh, Esther Floyd, Lauren Bowen. God, we pray for David Gregg, Graham DePriest, Grange Burnside, Fred Van Osdahl, Mrs. Essie Slaughter, Simona Butler, Mia Germano. God, we pray for Tom and Terry Rubenstein, for John Rowe, for Faye Key, and for Jackie. Help us to breathe slowly, to turn to you in prayer, to feel held up as we strive for balance with those we love and those with whom we struggle. Help us to reach out for a caring hand in our own times of need. And let us be that caring hand for those who find this day difficult. Guide us as we support one another, using the gifts we have received to serve others as faithful stewards of your love and your grace. We give thanks for this church community, God, and all those who support and nourish it with their gifts of time and talent. And we seek to follow you. Help us to hear your words each day and transform them into deeds that work toward the growth of your kingdom here on earth. Amen.
Word of God, as it was recorded for us in the closing text of Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus commissions his disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The word of the Lord.
God, in the words now to be spoken and heard, may your Spirit's truest, deepest words find their home in our hearts and awaken us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. famous opening lines. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Call me Ishmael. 87 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. And the most famous of all, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The very first word of the book of Genesis, and so the Bible's very first sentence, and really, how else could it start but at the beginning? And the beginning was God creating. The story of the world doesn't begin with the world, but with God, who dreamed the world, dreamed galaxies, dreamed the cosmic fireworks show that was the Big Bang. None of it had to be. Humankind did not have to be. You can believe it if you like that behind everything is nothing at all but blind chance. But our faith is that behind all things is a fathomless love. That is God. Did you know that in all of Scripture, the verb create is reserved for use only by God? What humans do is assign the word to make, but to create, this comes only from the power of the love of God. A striking thing about the story in Genesis is that God does not create out of nothing. Something's already there. Something already created, but that must be now dealt with before the truly good news of creation can begin. In this account, this poem, because that's what it is, a poem. In it, the earth is already there, only in a very different condition. We read, the earth was without form and void. Formless earth? Shapeless, void, empty. The Hebrew words can be translated, the earth was an emptiness, a futility, or the earth was disordered, chaotic, without meaning. More vividly, we're told that all is covered with vast, endless waters raging in darkness. This is what's meant by the deep when we're told, and darkness covered the face of the deep. John Milton in Paradise Lost described it this way: the vast, immeasurable abyss, outrageous as a sea, dark, wasteful, wild, turned by furious winds and surging waves and mountains to surging waves as mountains to assault heaven's height. The scene describes something scary, threatening, a fearsome chaos. So the story that begins with God begins also with fathomless chaos. In total darkness. Read on. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In the pitch black darkness, God's breath wind, spirit moves upon the deep. The Hebrew verb also means God's spirit hovered or brooded over the waters. This word was used elsewhere in the Bible of a mother bird brooding over her young with hovering wings. The scene is eerie and it's wonderful. Here is this raging emptiness and absolute darkness, and above it a breathing, brooding love. It's the beginning of the best possible news. And when the breakthrough comes, when the great changing begins, how does it happen? God speaks. God speaks. That is all. Who knows how long the Spirit broods, but at last is uttered the word from God, "Let there be light." And there it was. Light. There were certainly other ancient Near Eastern creation stories, but in them, the gods made the world by doing something hands-on, most often by killing some other great being and using the parts of its body to make the world and the sky. In the Genesis creation story, God needs to do nothing at all. And certainly there is no violence in creating. All God needs is to speak a word, to utter the divine, "Let it be." One poet has imagined God needing even less than a word. Listen to James Weldon Johnson from God's Trombones. "And God stepped out on space, and God looked around and said, 'I'm lonely. I'll make me a world.' And as far as the eyes of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. And then God smiled, and the light broke. And the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other, and God said, 'That's good.'" In Johnson's poem, it's not God's word, but God's smile that makes the light. Nice. Not scripture, but really nice. But he does return to the Bible's account when he says, "The darkness rolled up on one side and the light stood shining on the other." Because in the story, God doesn't destroy darkness, only separates it, calling the darkness night and calling the newborn light day. God honors and values and loves both dark and light, only puts each of them in their place. And the same with God's creation of dry ground. God keeps the land and the sea, only divides them, sets for each of them limits. Isn't this the nature of life in our own experience? We, you and I, were never meant to live only in light or only on the solid ground of security and calm. All of it is the Creator's boundary design. That's good news for us who were under the impression that we must put every scary thing out of our sight. or stamp it out, or beat our fist against the walls that so much is unsettled in our lives and everywhere else? Shall we despair that the parts we don't like won't all just go away? Or shall we let God keep speaking light to where the light should be, and let God give the dark its place and hover within it and show us the boundaries of it and lead us to the good and livable rhythms and the balance that is the Creator's gift? Problem, of course, is that the chaos, the emptiness, meaninglessness, seem to have the greater presence and the greater power. It's everywhere. Everywhere on the planet, it's everywhere in ourselves. The terrible dark, the horrible downward pull of the abyss. And here's the question on which everything depends. And I'll ask it in the question made by Frederick Buechner. Does the Spirit of God move over the face of the turbulent waters of our age? Is the God who created us brooding over our darkness? The good news, dear friends, is that the Creator has not finished creating. In the Psalms, there's a prayer: create in me a clean heart, O God. And many of us know in our own experience it's a prayer that love can answer. More than once in the Scriptures, there is singing of a new creation. The old is passed away, all things are made new. Where there was death, sorrow, awful confusion, broken relationships, shattered hope, the Creator will speak and is speaking now. Let there be light. Let there be newborn life. Do you hear the tone of those creating words? The tone is without force or even command. There's more of an openness in it, something like a freedom. There is joy in it. Can you hear it? Something like an invitation. The Creator doesn't say there must be light. The Creator says, let there be. And perhaps our voices could echo that voice and make it our prayer. Let it be. God is not finished creating the world. God hasn't finished creating you or us. And didn't you hear us sing it ourselves just a few minutes ago? Praise with elation. Praise every morning God's recreation of a new day. Nothing else could make sense but our open responsiveness to love's gift. And so we make our offerings of material possessions and of ourselves as an act of worship. Let us give. The creation story we've heard again today was from ancient times felt by many in the church to hold the dynamics of the Trinity. The Creator, the Spirit of the Creator, and the words spoken into the world which in time for our sakes was made flesh and dwelt among us. We come now to the table of that living, creating word. And on the table, elements of creation itself, grain, and the fruit of the grapevine. The one who has called us to be and makes us a new creation, which feed us now with life, new life. Let there be. Christ invites all to this table, therefore let us confess our sins before God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of God. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That proves God's love for us. The peace of Christ be among you, for we are forgiven. The peace of Christ be with you. God brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, God made humankind. Into God's own image and likeness are we made. God breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God remained steadfast. In the fullness of time, God gave us the beloved, the only Son, Jesus Christ. By his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from sin and from death, and made with us a new covenant of water and the Spirit. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The body of Christ, the bread of life.
In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup, blessed it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
The blood of Christ, the cup of love. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's suffering until he comes again. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
The offering plates at the door are for our gifts to one great hour of sharing. This is an ecumenical ministry which attends to material needs of people across the globe. They are very active in times of natural disaster. They're also committed in ongoing creative ways to fight against, to work against food insecurity. Let's give as we are able, gladly and in faith. Would you stand now for the hymn of fellowship? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's own face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God give you grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to give something big for something good. Grace to know that the world is now too small for anything but love and too dangerous for anything but truth. So may Christ take your mind, may Christ take our minds and think through them. May Christ take our mouths and speak through them. May Christ take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen.